This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Earthwise, Environment and Peace with Justice interviews on Plains FM 96.9.
Welcome to Earthwise. I'm Lois Griffiths. Martin and I are so looking forward to today's program. Our interview is with Martha Hennessy, Catholic worker, peace activist. She and six other Catholic peace activists were arrested in April at a Trident submarine base in Georgia, USA.
Well, yes, Lois and I are very alarmed by the way the US is increasing its already huge nuclear arsenal, despite the UN treaty to ban nuclear weapons that 120 other countries, including New Zealand, helped write. Welcome to Earthwise, Martha Hennessy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Martha, we're so honored to be talking with you. Your grandmother was Dorothy Day, the founder of the Catholic Workers Movement. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm the seventh of her nine grandchildren. She had one daughter, my mother.
And what were her concerns at the time? What led her to form this Catholic Workers Movement?
Well, in her teens and 20s, she was born in 1897, and so she witnessed all of the difficulties with the labor struggles where people were very much enslaved. She witnessed a lot of the economic injustice in the teens and the roaring 20s, the debauchery of capitalism in the 20s. And then in the 1930s, she founded the movement. It was right in the height of the Depression, and the capitalist model was not doing well to serve people. And she had a taste of that in her younger life as a sort of socialist journalist. She witnessed all of the difficulties with working families. And so she also had a very powerful conversion experience and became Catholic and joined with most of the immigrants into the United States who helped build this empire were of Catholic faith, the Italians, the Irish, the Poles. And so she felt it was the religion of the masses and of the poor. And so she had a conversion experience and then combined both her socialistic leanings with Catholicism, which in itself, with the Catholic social teachings, speaks much to the condition of workers and families, even today.
And she founded one of the special homes, didn't she?
Yes, the movement started with a newspaper, the Catholic Worker paper. But then they very soon found themselves doing what's called the Works of Mercy. And the founder of the movement, we don't say that Dorothy was the founder. She herself said that Peter Marin, a French peasant, was the founder. And he's the one who taught her about Catholic social teachings. And the houses of hospitality were a very important component, and literally to take care of the homeless and the stranded. And they started with the soup line, feeding striking workers, actually, and then it moved into more homelessness.
The Catholic
newspaper is still going, isn't it, that was founded then?
Yes, we are in our 85th year of the Catholic Worker Movement, and in July in Rochester, New York, we're having a gathering to celebrate the longevity of the movement, the miracle of our continuance. And yes, the paper to this day reports on all of the issues that we're facing, nuclearization, the use of weaponized drones, what's happening on the border to immigrants, the horrible permanent war economy and the migration that it's causing both within our borders and outside of our borders and also in Europe. So the issues are very much similar today as they were 80 years ago, except maybe on a larger scale.
Mm. I've seen a quote from Dorothy Day. She said, "No one has a right to sit down and feel helpless. There's too much work to do."
That's right. She's a woman and a mother and a grandmother. The women always say, "There's too much work to be done. You cannot despair."
Mm. And I read that Pope Francis has called her out as one of four great Americans, along with Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr., and Thomas Merton.
Yes. Isn't that some company?
It is.
Absolutely.
And very well chosen by the Pope, the present Pope.
Now,
yes. Out of the four were pacifists, so I think he's trying to tell us U.S. citizens something.
Yeah. Now, also arrested with you, we'll get back to that in a few minutes, was Elizabeth McAllister, and she's the wife of the late Phil Berrigan, is that right?
Yes, she's Phil Berrigan's widow. She's 78 years old. She did a plowshares action in the mid-1980s, and she's served quite a bit of time in prison, even while her children were young, and she is now in jail as we speak. She did not take the conditional release, and she is a very strong woman.
And as we said originally in the introduction, you yourself are on bail for the same action, aren't you?
Yes, seven of us were arrested at Kings Bay Naval Base, the largest nuclear submarine base on the planet. And four of them are still in, and three of us are out who have more family demands.
So you'll have to face trial later on, is that the idea?
Yes. On August 2nd, we have a pre-trial motions hearing, and we were hoping to have a trial date set then, but now it looks like it will be pushed back even further. And perhaps the trial will be set for November or December, 8 months following the action.
Now, what actually are you being charged with then?
It's federal charges. There are four charges. Conspiracy is the first charge, and destruction of property on a naval installation is the second charge. The third charge is depredation of government property, and the last charge is trespass. And we find these charges to be rather redundant and not really explicit at all in saying exactly what was the terrible crime we committed. So we are going to be facing those federal charges. And they're kind of typical to what happens whenever this kind of an action is taken on.
And federal charges are very serious, and you would face serious jail time if you were found guilty on that first charge, wouldn't you?
Yes, they're saying each charge can be 5 years or something. The trespass, I think, is 6 months. That's a misdemeanor.
Yes.
But they're serious charges.
Yeah, certainly challenging the military power and being arrested is almost a Catholic workers' tradition, isn't it? I remember the name Phil Berrigan because I grew up in America. New Zealanders might not click with them. I remember the 1968 Catonsville Nine.
Yes, the Catonsville Nine. They just had the 50th anniversary in May for that. And don't forget Phil's brother, Daniel Berrigan, the Jesuit priest. And yes, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's a Catholic worker tradition to go up against...
Maybe that wasn't the right way to say it.
No, that's okay. That's okay, because there is, you know, just a little bit of crossing of the lines with the plowshares movement and the Catholic worker movement, and I certainly have clouded the picture by my participation, but it's a primacy of conscience is what we're really looking at here.
The
Catonsville Nine was certainly trying to address the horrible drafting of young men for the Vietnam War.
The plowshares is a more direct action, isn't it? The Catholic workers is less sort of militant than the plowshares. Is that a fair word to use?
Yes. The question of destruction of property and secrecy comes in, and Dorothy wasn't that comfortable. You know, she followed the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But I think with these military installations, it's a whole different ball game. They're just very untouchable. They're spending billions of dollars, and they're doing it without any kind of a democratic process. It's a great secret themselves what they're doing with this nuclear arsenal. And so I feel that I've worked very hard in trying to address these grievances through our typical avenues of, you know, petitioning our government, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, but they are pretty ineffectual at this point in time.
You're listening to Earthwise, broadcasting in Christchurch on Plains FM 96.9, in Hamilton on Free FM, and in Waikanae on Coast Access FM. Today's guest is Catholic worker, plowshares activist Martha Hennessy in the United States.
I think, Margaret, the fear now is that we're now talking about just, well, conventional weapons. It's on to nuclear weapons, isn't it? I've seen a quote by Phil Berrigan when he was very ill. He said, "I die with the conviction held since 1968 in Catonsville that nuclear weapons are the scourge of the earth. To mine for them, manufacture them, deploy them, use them is a curse against God, the human family, and the earth itself."
Yes, yes, that's a beautiful statement. And even the Pope, Pope Francis himself, has said that the manufacture and possession of these weapons is immoral and never justified. And so we are trying to, you know, force the U.S. courts to allow expert testimony to show, to discuss the legality of these nuclear weapons in the face of all of the treaties that have been put forth in trying to deal with these most horrific weapons.
I suppose the attitude of the judge, him or herself, to the evidence would make a difference, wouldn't it?
Well, what they do, their trick is to completely separate our act from any kind of an understandable motive. They do a very deliberate and efficient job of not allowing the jury to ever hear the reason why we would ever do such an act, and to talk about the weapons and to talk about the treaties. And so they reduce it to the breaking and entering level, and they never talk about why we feel compelled. Based on Nuremberg principles, you know, when our government is doing something illegal and immoral, we are responsible for speaking out.
So they're treating breaking into a nuclear submarine base the same as breaking into the local dime store, I suppose.
Yes. I mean, when we reduce the act to the cutting of a fence and we don't talk about what is on the other side of that fence, I mean, would we have the same conversation if it were a concentration camp? And so it's imperative that we try again and again to get these courts to really look at the issue. We've banned landmines, biological and chemical weapons, and cluster bombs, and nuclear weapons are worse than all of those other weapons. So we really need to take a close look at this, the legality of it all.
Somehow we need to ban war, don't we? Now, let's talk about what actually happened. Seven of you gathered at Kings Bay Naval Base in Georgia on the 4th of April, 2018. Why did you choose the 4th of April?
Because it was the 50th anniversary. 1968 was a very intense year in the United States, and Martin Luther King Jr. was killed on April 4th. And I personally believe it was a state-sponsored killing. I believe there was a civil trial in 1999 where the King family requested this trial, and the evidence showed it was a state killing. And so Martin Luther King Jr. identified the triple evils of racism, militarism, and extreme materialism as the death knell for our democracy. And so we wanted to really bring to the forefront the fact that war targets mostly people who are different than ourselves. I mean, we are behaving as a white supremacist empire. And so we wanted to make that point, also based on what's happening in this country, with Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, all of these efforts, and now we have the Poor People's Campaign. And the United States is built on slavery and genocide, which is all a very racist phenomenon. And we also brought in the scientists, the rocket scientists from Nazi Germany, and we have picked up where Hitler has left off. And we've managed to, you know, consider ourselves a democracy and yet still continue to build this world-dominating empire.
Of course, it's so unacceptable what you're saying to the general public and the people in general. It's just outrageous to them, isn't it? They just can't understand what you're talking about.
Yes, and the media here does a very poor job of really reporting what is happening and what is going on in our country and in the world, for that matter.
I think New Zealanders would be astonished to see the size of the base you've been at. I have no idea myself, though, but to actually see physically what it looks like. We don't have anything of that sort here, that scale.
17,000 acres, 800 military bases around the world, and the largest arsenal ever created in human history. We're spending $70 billion a year on this military budget. It has taken precedence over every other human need.
See, the staggering killing power, it's, we think of the awful thing that was done to Hiroshima. I was very disappointed Obama didn't apologize when he went to Hiroshima. But the killing power now of these Trident submarines is much greater, isn't it?
Yes, the submarines have just such a capacity for overkill, the firepower to, you know, do ourselves in many times over. And I'm just so embarrassed that at least President Obama visited, but to not apologize. The United States has gotten away scot-free with these intense war crimes. And Hiroshima and Nagasaki certainly were the worst of it. And Vietnam, what we did to Korea, the Korean Peninsula, and now what we're doing in Yemen, what we're supporting, what's happening in Yemen. I mean, this is all one generation after the next getting away with war crimes. And, of course, we have President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who warned against this very phenomenon happening, this unwarranted influence exerted by the arms industry on every aspect of our economy and society.
Well, Martha, I appreciate your talking to us. I almost said Susan. I was going to say that I used to correspond with another nun, I think, Susan Crane, when she was in jail protesting against weapons being used against
East Timor. Indonesia.
Yeah, and Susan Crane is still part of the movement, isn't she?
Yes, absolutely. She's out on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. And yes, they continue to demonstrate at the Kitsap Naval Base, the twin to Kings Bay. It's on the West Coast. It houses half of the nuclear fleet. And they continue to bear witness out there as best they can.
Just one more question, Ruth. Why did you choose Earth Day to explain what you were doing?
Well, Earth Day has a special place in my heart. I'm a gardener. I love being outdoors. And I was in prison, and I couldn't see any of the outside. I was completely isolated from nature. And I just felt an affinity to that day and to speaking about, you know, the horrors of what a nuclear holocaust would do to nature and to this beautiful Garden of Eden. And so I just try to pick these relevant dates. The community tries to, you know, speak out certain anniversaries and certain acknowledged dates just to remind ourselves of, you know, what we're here to witness for and what our past history is and how we want to change the future.
How many times have you yourself actually been in prison?
I was in jail for 3 months regarding nuclear power plant in 1980. That was my first experience, me. And I've been arrested regarding the drones and regarding torture at Guantanamo.
Oh, gosh. Yes. All these so important causes to our sense of humanity. It seems to be at stake, isn't it?
Yes, it brings me a sense. I have to revisit my humanity by participating in these actions of standing up and saying no, and it's kind of restorative of our humanity to be in this work. It's very, very critical.
I presume you're in women's prisons, and your fellow prisoners would be sort of generally poor women, women with poverty, and maybe colored women as well. Sort of.
Well, what's really shaking the country now is an opioid epidemic, a drug epidemic. Many people are dying from overdoses, and I would say most of the women that I was in jail with, it was related to drug addiction.
Yes.
And there's been a role that's been played by our war in Afghanistan and with Big Pharma helping to create this crisis, this business of profiting at any cost, even to your own citizens. And that's what I witnessed in jail. And yes, of course, the system is very, very racist.
Well, gosh, thank you so much for talking to us. And as I say, we respect so much what you're doing.
We wish you well for your trial and that justice may be done and seen to be done there where you're working so hard for it.
And we're looking forward to sharing this news with other New Zealanders. Thank you so much, Martha.
Thank you, and keep up the faith, hope, and love.
Martin, that was a wonderful experience talking to Martha Hennessy,
yes,
wasn't it?
These people that we managed to interview are the salt of the earth, the people who are sort of keep one's faith alive.
It really helps to know that there are people who care so much about the serious issues facing our time. There's just time, though, to talk about something else. Martin, does the name James Hansen ring a bell? James Hansen?
Yeah, yes. Vaguely, but I do remember the name. A climate scientist, a very distinguished one. I think he worked with the...
He worked for NASA.
NASA, yes.
And on the 23rd of June, 30 years ago...
That's almost exactly the anniversary,
yeah,
isn't it? Yes.
He risked his career by warning the world in a statement to the Congress about climate change.
Very early firm and ahead of his time, really, wasn't he?
Well, he's the one who really brought this into the public thinking, the idea of global warming.
And he was he was a real scientist who understood the science behind it, didn't he?
And you think 30 years ago we had this warning, and yet it's still not being followed by the most powerful. He wrote a book, Storms of Our Grandchildren, I think it was called. He actually came to New Zealand in 2011. So for 30 years, the world has been warned about the dangers of man's action, subverting the climate, and stabilizing our climate system.
At least it's got as far as being accepted by the bulk of people here, but not really.
As an issue, but it's not really, really tackled. And President Trump now is undoing so much of the efforts that have been started.
Yes.
Anyway, that's there we are. Climate change. Every program in Earthwise, we could talk about the latest extreme climate events around the world.
30 years since the first warnings. Well, they were earlier than that. Even there were earlier warnings, but this was a very well known one.
He made it
public,
really.
Well publicized one. Yes.
Yes. So I think that's about a good time to end our program. But I'd like to just finish with a favorite song of the Christchurch Catholic Workers. We used to go to their meetings, remember?
Yes.
And the favorite song was Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream. And let's listen to Joan Baez.
I dreamed there was a man. They all join hands and serve.